Like to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 17 this morning. Now this morning, we'll be looking forward to the new year that is coming upon us very rapidly. But before that, I would like to have us ponder some of the things that have happened in this past year, because sometimes it seems like time really flies. It reminds me of Groucho Marx once said that time flies like an arrow, but fruit flies like a banana. I don't know what that has anything to do with it, but fruit flies do like bananas. So, but anyway, sometimes the time flies, and other times it seems like it just stands still. It seems as though when we enjoy ourselves, we wish that it would last forever. But when we have hardships, time just doesn't seem to move fast enough. So let's go ahead and look at our scripture reading for this morning. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5 in verses 15 through 17. Here it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Our daily lives are often hurried. We rush around from one event to the next. We always seem to have something pressing us. There are so many things in this modern culture that can really occupy our time. We have television, the internet, cell phones, iPads, iPhones, you know, all of that. And we probably don't go a single day without having at least one of these things occupy our time. And with these things can come temptations. But in the midst of temptations of this modern life, one of the greatest temptations is to be occupied with the matters of life, where we have almost, we are occupied with stuff that seems to be mundane, doesn't really have all that much usefulness, and it just seems unimportant. And yet, even though we occupy much of our time with that, how much time do we occupy concerning God's kingdom? How much time do we spend with the needs of our souls? God has given us each a limited time here on earth. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to use this precious commodity of time wisely and not wasting it, especially wasting it in sin, but redeeming it by doing good things that will bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Now, we know for a fact that only a fool begins a journey and doesn't have a recognized destination. Imagine going off on your holidays, packing your bags, getting to the airport, and when someone says, "Where are you going?" You go, "I'm really not sure." That would be absolutely crazy. You see, a general does not go to battle without first looking at the army he has at his command. But yet so many of us meander through spiritual conversations and we make a profession of faith, and it all sounds good, but we don't live by it, because we don't have any spiritual goal or destination. It's like taking a trip to Hawaii, or thinking about it, actually, but you never save up for that trip. You never ask off of work so that you can take that trip. And then you never see what the flight schedules are, how much it's going to cost, and you never determine what you're going to see once you're there. You know, you could end up there and just seeing the inside of a Hawaiian hotel room. I've been there. My sister, Bobby, used to live in Hawaii, and my mom, in order to see her grandchildren, instead of shipping all of them over here, she would go over there. And I was sort of enlisted to help my mother get from Madison, Wisconsin to Hilo, Hawaii. And I found that I really couldn't leave my mom alone. We didn't know at the time, but she had the onset of Alzheimer's. And she would forget things. She wouldn't remember to eat. She wouldn't remember to do some of the things that she needed to do. And then she would forget where she was. So I saw a lot of the inside of a hotel room in Hawaii. I would read books and stuff, but you know, that wasn't the highlight of the trip. The highlight of the trip was that as soon as my sister Bobby would get off of work, she would have things planned for us. And we would go out and do all of the things that she had planned. And most of the time, most of my time was actually sitting in the hotel room watching after my mom. But my mom, quite frankly, would just sleep because she would try to catch up on the energy she needed to do these things that we were going to do in the afternoon. But, you know, just not planning ahead, not thinking, what am I going to do? What's my destination? We likewise have to think, where have we come? Where have we come from this past year spiritually? Where are we going ahead? What's our spiritual destination? We need to look at our lives. What's happened, not only this past year, but in our life, and determine where are we going. We need to look at walking circumspectly. And in fact, if you're not walking in that manner, the Bible calls us fools. It's as if you're walking with your spiritual eyes closed, and you're just drifting around from place to place. And the Bible says that that is the path of a fool. If you go from having little or no experience, spiritual experience in one place, and then going and finding that same kind of little or nothing experience, and then just thinking that's all there is in this life, you're walking in the dark. And it really doesn't matter what happens to you because you're not seeking God's will. Let me ask you, do you plan your days for God? Do you plan your life for God? If I were to ask you, what is your goal for your life, what would it be? Have you got a goal, a direction of what you want to be for God? Or what you want to do for God? Or what you would long to see God create within you for His glory? Do you have a direction? If you don't, it means you're walking in the dark and you're walking as a fool. A blessed and happy eternity or a most miserable eternity depends upon what we have made of our time here. What have we done while we were here in this time of grace? Our welfare in this life and the world and this world depends on how we have used our time. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 23. And we'll see what we should look at, what we should store up for ourselves. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You can see here that Matthew says that we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures that do not diminish in any way. Moth, rust, thieves, they can't affect it because it's not worldly, it's heavenly. This is treasure that is put into the hands of God. Treasures of the heart, treasures that will be the seed of our happiness for all eternity. But look at verse 23 there. Here it says that if sin of covetousness prevails, that's your desires, that's what your eye sees, your eye covets and desires, the whole body follows. If we follow a path or a course of life that is not considered in the light of eternity, we will walk in darkness, and that darkness will be great. We need to set our course, and we need to set it now. Time is precious because time is short. If something is scarce, its value increases. Let me tell you, time is short. It's in short supply. It runs like water through your hands. Job explained this, that his days are faster than an eagle. They pass away as swift as ships. And James says, our life is but a vapor, like rising smoke that vanishes away. Our time here on earth is nothing but a blip on the scale of eternity. We don't even know how short it will be. As in our prayer time, we found out a 20-year-old falling over dead. We don't know how much time we have left. One may have more time than the other, but we all know that our time will come to an end. How much more would we cherish time if we knew we only had a couple days or a couple months or a couple years? How much more would we cherish that time? Time is short, and therefore it's precious. Time is also precious because when it's passed, you can't get it back. It cannot be recovered. There are so many things that men possess, and if they were to part with them, they could regain. But that's not so with time. You can regain a possession that you sold. With some effort, you might be able to buy it back or get a new one. Just like if you sold a car or a house. But once you've spent time, you can never recover that. You can't repeat or replace it. Time that is spent is gone for good. Nothing you do through any trial or effort or money or anything will regain that time. Even though you may have great regret that you wasted time, it won't return. Time and opportunity are offered to us. And if we waste it, make no use of that time, we lose it forever. You may have lived 40, 50, 60, 80 years, and you may have spent a lot of time on things that weren't profitable to the soul. But the thing is, this is sort of odd. Even when we know that we can't regain time, instead of redeeming it, we sort of just lament over it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have spent better use of time. But it doesn't seem to motivate us to use it better. How much time have we wasted? How much time have we spent in idleness? We are not at the beginning of a long period of life. For most of us, many of us, we're at least halfway through. The clock is ticking. What did we do with our time? Have we wasted precious time, precious years? If we could add up all the days, the great number of days, what did we do with those days? How much opportunity did we take? How much opportunity did we seek to glorify God and edify the church? You young people, how many years has the Lord given you to seek Him? What do you have to show for it? Have you been actively seeking kingdom riches? Have you actively been seeking treasure in heaven? You know, it seems like these days, time really doesn't have as much value as it used to be, used to have. We seem to have an abundance of time because now we have technology and we have machines and equipment that make our life easier. We have tasks that in the past might have taken a full day to accomplish, and now we can do it in just minutes sometimes. I mean, laundry used to take a long time. How long does laundry take? It doesn't take that hour or whatever, because it just takes a couple minutes. Throw it in there, shut the door, put the detergent in, and you're done until it's done, and then you fold it. So how long does it actually take? It's not how long the machine is running. It runs whether you're there or not. You see, we have all of these things that make our daily tasks easier. So you would think, now, I have all this extra time. I can use it profitably. But we just don't do that. We have all these techno gadgets that speed up our tasks. But we have, in the process, forgot the value of time, so we waste it and we throw it away on foolish activities. And sometimes just in idleness. We would never waste money the way we waste time. And yet money can be replaced. Time is more precious than money. Time is a blessing from the Lord, but it's an allotted amount. There's a limit to the time that God has given us, and we will give an account for the use of that time. Every servant has to give an account to his master, and we will give an account to how we use that great talent of time. And so in our text in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Now the Greek word for circumspectly is akrobos. And it means to see accurately or exactly. It means to see with diligence in being specific, to be very careful. It means that we must govern our minds. We must be careful not to let our emotions get the best of us or run away with us. To see this a little better, I'd invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 6 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And starting with verse 6. Here it says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the wisdom of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Listen to this. But we have the mind of Christ. God has given us the mind of Christ, and we should use it. Our eyes were blinded by Satan, but now the Holy Spirit of God has opened them so that we can see accurately. Now we can make decisions, not as unwise, but wise, making the most out of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Paul says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We are to exercise our minds, continuously thinking and learning, so that we can accurately perceive spiritual reality. Why is it so important to see clearly? Because the world is under the control of the evil one. And although we are Christians, we still have indwelling sin. We are not yet made perfect. Therefore, we sin. Now, we don't have to sin, but the flesh gets the best of us, and we tend to be very capable of doing it. We are surrounded by traps and stumbling blocks and ditches on every side. We are tempted daily, and there are times where we succumb to these temptations. So we are exhorted to walk carefully, be exacting in our lives, to look carefully before we walk. We are to think, to know, to understand, and perceive. We must think biblically, not according to the philosophies of this world. Look at one of the words used, the way the word akrobos is used in our text. It means circumspectly. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2. And we'll look at this. Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 8. We'll see this word akrobos used. Now, starting with verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search Acrobos. Go search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I can come and worship him also. Now, he didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. Do you remember when the United States was going after Saddam Hussein? What did the military gather for the president of the United States? They gathered intelligence, right? It's called intelligence because it's accurate information. It's not just getting the gist of it. It's not getting the gist of the situation. It's being as accurate as possible. The leaders want to know that if they were going to have a mission to take out Saddam Hussein, that they had exact information of where he was, and indeed that if they were going to take him out, that was him. This is exactly what Herod was doing. He was gathering intelligence. He wanted to know all about this Christ child, who he was and where he would be, so that he could kill this child that he saw as a threat. But you see, it was important to have accurate information before he acted. So we also must have correct perception of reality so that we understand a situation correctly and accurately before we make a decision. As Christians, we are not to be led by emotions, but instead we are supposed to be led by sanctified or holy reason. In other words, we need to look before we leap. In many countries today, there are people who have limbs that are missing because they have stepped on landmines. So in the same manner, there are spiritual landmines all over the place. If we walk carelessly, we will suffer great loss. So the Apostle Paul warns us, watch out, be careful, watch how you live in this world. The word see in our text is translated beware. It's the word blepo. And it's found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. I normally don't have you turn for just one verse, but let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2. I want you to turn here and see this because the Apostle Paul uses the word blepo three times. Here in Philippians 3:2, it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. See, Paul warns the Philippians to know exactly what they were teaching. Compare it with the gospel. Be exact with your teaching. Do not be gullible or naive about the truth. Absorb all sorts of accurate information. Don't absorb something that is inaccurate or wrong. Paul wanted them to intelligently comprehend the doctrines of the Bible, so they wouldn't be deceived by heretics that were teaching against salvation by grace through faith alone. We can also see this principle in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So if you would, please turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. Here, Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest any should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principle of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. This is our responsibility as Christians. We are not to believe everything that comes along. We are to discern what we hear. We are to discern good and evil. We must compare everything with the gospel and then reject what isn't in harmony with it. We must watch out for heretics, deceivers, those who try to play on our emotions, and those who go against the law of God. We are to reject non-Christian philosophies at every turn. We must be intelligent Christians, guided by the gospel in our daily decisions. We must exercise our minds so that we can resist hollow philosophies of the world. The question should not be whether or not a course of action will give us maximum pleasure. If this was the question, Jesus would not have gone to the cross. The question is, will this course of action bring glory to God? And our minds should be satisfied with this reasoning before we act on anything. We are to do all things for the glory of God alone. Just as Jesus walked with God, so we are to follow in his footsteps. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The straight and narrow path of obedience. It doesn't have to do with making us happy. But let me tell you this. You will find greater joy seeking obedience to God than you will in anything that you do in your life. In the long run, you will be way happier. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Therefore, we are to walk worthy of our calling, walk in love, and walk in wisdom. And further in verse 15 of our text, we see it says, not to walk as fools, but wise. Unbelievers are not wise. They are unwise. They are ignorant of God. They are ignorant of Christ. They are ignorant of scriptures. They go, how can you believe that? Of course they would. They are ignorant of them. And the scriptures are the things, that is the one thing that alone can make them wise unto salvation. That's what 2 Timothy 3:15 says. Fools do not fear God. The Holy Spirit is not in them, and has not given them wisdom and has not opened their eyes. Unbelievers claim to be wise, but they aren't. So why then, as believers, do we spend so much time doing the things that they do to waste their time? They waste their time with foolishness, engaging in foolish activities. I don't want to rattle too much. I'm just going to say it. And it's not to make anyone feel guilty. It's to get people to think, how much time did you waste this last year? How much time did you waste on the internet, on Facebook, on game sites, on gossip sites, on fantasy sports sites? How much time did you waste? Now imagine having to tell God that you did this instead of how you redeem the time. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verses 33 through 37. And like I said, this is a matter of conscience, but it needs to be said because many people get caught up in wasting time foolishly. Listen to what it says, Matthew chapter 12 and starting in verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Knowing this, how would you behave if you knew that the end of the day tomorrow you would give account to God how you used your time? How much time did you spend in Bible reading? How much time did you spend in prayer, personal prayer? How much time did you spend in foolishness? How much time did you spend on stuff that has no redeeming value? We will have to give an account of our time and even misspent time. How much time have you already wasted? Are we going to let another year go by? Or should we seek improvement of our situation? We have a good and gracious God. Every morning, His goodness is new again. His graciousness is great. His loving kindness is as high as the heavens. In Him there is no injustice. We have good reason to humble ourselves before God and to thank Him today for the precious gift of time. You see the word in verse 16 of our text? The word time. It's the word kairos. It means due measure or opportunity or limited time of opportunities. In the context of Ephesians 5, Paul speaks of a life of holiness. God's children must walk in love, not foolish talking, no filthiness in our language. No covetousness in our eyes, but instead showing goodness and righteousness and truth. In that setting, the apostle writes, redeem the time. Bring glory to God and do the things which are good. Take every opportunity, every circumstance to do what is good. This is the time for it. The decisive, the determinative, the appropriate time. Now is the time. What you do now is setting a course for the future. This is a unique opportunity that we have to bring glory to God. The days are evil. Current times are trying to pull us away from God. We need to look back and see that that has happened in our lives. We need to look back and see how much wasted time we have. But then we need to look forward and know God is gracious. And we need to, with diligence and precision, look toward the future. We can fool ourselves by thinking we have plenty of time. The devil tells young people, don't worry about it. One day you will. You have plenty of time left. The older people, he says, hey, you know what? It's too late. It's too late. Don't worry about it. And he drives us into despair because we think, what have I done with my life? And you don't sit there and go, today, his glory is renewed and fresh. I can lay it upon him today. We need to take this time. The bottom line is God has given us opportunity. How are we taking that opportunity? How much time have we received from the Lord? How much time has been wasted? In the days that the Lord Jesus was on earth, God came near many people of Israel. The Lord preached to their conscience and their affections, but they did not realize. They did not realize their day of visitation. Therefore, the things of their peace were hidden from their eyes. Had those convictions been listened to, had they adhered to the preaching and the teaching of Christ, the Lord would have given them more grace than they could have ever believed. But instead, they refused to listen. Please turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 through 44. And this is speaking of the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know your time of visitation. There are people sitting in churches all over America. They sit in the same pew week after week. They listen to preaching that's convicting in some way. God was visiting them, but they did not use that time of visitation. They instead were dazzled and blinded with all of the trinkets that so many times are associated with a church worship service. And you hate to even say a worship service because there's just all this stuff. what they needed to know is this is the day. They needed to hear the preacher say, I beg you, take this time and opportunity. Look at what you have done. And then turn. Turn afresh to the Lord and see that this is the time He has given us. Don't allow the devil or this world to pressure you or to deceive you. Turn to the Lord and make use of every opportunity that He gives you. The redeeming of time means that we, at the expense of earthly pleasures and earthly ease, will take opportunities the Lord gives us to gain salvation and to do good and go out away from temptation. The devil is at work robbing you of time. He gives you these little glass beads in exchange, all these little trinkets, all this technology, whatever it is. But Paul says these days are evil. And there are many temptations, many things that can fill our lives. There's so much temptation as never before, alluring people away from God, infecting their thinking patterns, tricking them into thinking that as long as they don't do anything of gross sins, well, I never killed anyone, thinking that they are safe. While in the meantime, they think that they're doing good. They're being deceived. So many people have such a busy work schedule. They have so much entertainment and visiting and meetings and traveling that your time just is taken up in all these things. All this precious time is being wasted. There's so many things. If a businessman were to set his mind, and most businessmen do, they say, this is what it's going to take for me to increase my business. That's exactly what they do. They don't allow entertainment to interfere. They don't allow recreation to interfere. They don't allow friends to interfere. They have their mindset, this is how my business is going to make it. This is how my business is going to run. Yet what comparison is business to our soul? What childish things, toys, in this daily life are worth in comparison to the weight of our souls? We can easily get off track. We need to be concerned that the time is coming where it will be too late. God has an appointed time with you, and He will keep that appointment if you're prepared or if you're ready or not. But we are God's children. And if we look back, now we look forward and go, I want to understand more what God's will is for me. I want to improve my knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to dig deeper into the things of Christ, to know the deep things of God's Word. So much more to know. There's so much more to love, so much more to honor the Lord Jesus Christ by our lives. We must continue to look back and see the time that we have lost. But we also must understand that we have a rich privilege under the grace of God, and that there is a deliverance. We must look forward, understanding God has given us this time to do that. He has given us time for a new mindset, a new life, a new walk, to have repentance, not just at salvation, but constant repentance. Lord, I wasted time. Forgive me for that. I urge you to live the Christian life, energized by the Spirit of God, laboring for God, and redeeming the time He has given you. Seek opportunities to serve God. Avoid laziness. Avoid self-indulgence. Get rid of selfish activities. Increase activities that have eternal significance. Avoid sin like the plague. Make all opportunities of your life count to Him. I want to, in closing here, I want to read Jonathan Edwards, when he was just 19 years of age, made out a list of things that he wanted to do, his resolution. In 1735, he wrote, resolved, never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I can. Time is precious, but it's limited. Time is purposeful. Time is under God's control. And we can do mighty things with the time God has given us. Time has eternal significance. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Set yourselves a spiritual destination today for this upcoming year, so that in 2015 you can turn and you can say, I have redeemed the time for my Lord and Savior this year. If you would please.